the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So John the Baptist is languishing in prison because he condemned Herod's illicit marriage to his brother's wife. Maybe John the Baptist is feeling uncertain as he sits behind bars because he sends his disciples to ask Jesus a very direct question. Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? Well, today's text is part of Jesus' answer to John's disciples. The disciples must have been shocked and confused when Jesus talks about being yoked. Now, most of us have never seen a yoke, but it was something the disciples would have seen all the time. A yoke is this heavy bar of wood carved out to fit over the neck of two oxen. And the yoke would share the weight between them so that they could pull even heavier plows and carts. The ox would be forced to work as a team as if they're one animal. The Hebrew scriptures used a yoke to describe God's relationship with the Israelites. When the Israelites were brought out of the slavery of Egypt, God described it as breaking a yoke. Quote, I have broken the bars of your yoke, unquote. God instructs the prophet Jeremiah to wear a wooden yoke to warn the kingdom of Judah that they should submit to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. Hananiah was a false prophet who said that's nonsense. When he heard Jeremiah, he became furious and he broke Jeremiah's yoke. So God told Hananiah that because he made the people believe a lie, the yoke would now be of iron and he would die within a year. And he did. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, became king after Solomon died, and he was not nearly as popular as his father was. Rehoboam was accused of making the people's yoke heavy, heavy with taxes, forced labor, which eventually caused his kingdom to fall. So the disciples would have heard the word yoke and thought of slavery, oppression, taxation, or exile. So they must have thought, oh, what yoke does Jesus want to put on us now? And maybe that's not such an ancient question after all. Most of us know what it feels like to have a yoke around our necks. The pressure to keep earning, keep caring for loved ones, keep answering messages, keep holding a family together, keep pretending we are fine when we are tired to the bone. Jewish leaders spoke of yokes as metaphors for obedience to God. And you were obedient by following the laws of the Torah. But Jesus knew that these laws could be used to crush the soul. Jesus has rallied against leaders who oppress people with their religious devotion. He's issued dire warnings against those who would exploit children, especially by taking advantage of their vulnerability. Now, a yoke of obedience may sound unpleasant. We may chafe at this word, obedience, because many of us already feel managed. We feel measured, feel corrected by the world around us. But Jesus isn't adding one more demand to our already crowded lives. Jesus wants us to accept a different yoke from him. This obedience to Jesus is not forced. It's not coerced. It is a way of learning beside him as we go. When Jesus invites us to take his yoke, he wants us to join him, to allow him to take the lead, to let him help us through difficult places, to give him the opportunity to show us how it's done. When we're yoked with him, we're imitating Jesus, and he won't ask us to do anything he won't do. Being yoked to Jesus brings relief. But not relief from obligations or accountability. It's a connection to God that will guide us, support us, and will give us rest. This promise of rest recalls Moses' journey into Exodus. Moses is really anxious about going into the wilderness, so God promises to accompany the people along the way. God tells Moses, quote, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Now, this rest is not freedom from work, but it is freedom from the kind of work that crushes the soul. Work we're forced to do, work driven by fear, work that feels futile, or work that asks us to prove our worth over and over and over again. It's also freedom from the weariness when you have no work at all. This easy yoke means having something to do, a purpose that demands your all and makes you do your best. It means work that is motivated by a desire to see God's kingdom on earth. It means work towards a certain future in which all of God's dreams come true. On this 250th celebration of our country, we need to be reminded that the yoke of Jesus is not the yoke of domination. It is not the yoke of winning, and it is not the yoke of endless striving. Anyone who believes they are responsible for their own salvation through military might, political power, intellectual superiority, or personal magnetism has no need for the yoke of Jesus. But to those who are tired, to those who know they need mercy, to know those who cannot carry life alone, Jesus comes with comfort, lifting life's burdens with his yoke and offering rest for our souls. So, dear church, come to this table of grace. Bring what is heavy. Bring what is unfinished. Bring what you cannot fix. Receive the gentle yoke of Christ, and then go, not driven, not crushed, not alone, but held, guided, and given rest. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Please rise for the hymn of the day.